Good afternoon. Hey, it's me, Maria Vasquez Boyd, on Heartspeak Radio with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 o'clock, here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's such a joy to follow my beautiful radio husband, Mark Manning. Get the hell out of here. He's just a delight. And, of course, all of our programmers, our staff, volunteers, they're just really wonderful people. And speaking of wonderful people, what a segue. I have the wonderful writer, poet, community activist, Jessica Ayala here, also reading interventionist, writer, Paul Richardson, and we also have writer and bookstore owner, Eve Brackenberry. She's here in the studio live. And then, as a special added treat, we've got Bill Sundahl, who's going to come in and talk about upcoming events for 2017 for KKFI. And then later, Mark and I, if you want to join us at his house, we're going to dance naked under the winter solstice moon, so there you go. What more could you ask for? I want to tell you about our writer, poet, community activist, Jessica Ayala. She's going to read her latest work, and she's going to talk about the Martin Project, named after the original, named after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So we're going to say hello to my friend Jessica. Good morning, afternoon, Jessica.
It is afternoon.
Very good. I'm so happy to have you
here. I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And it should have happened a long time ago. And I am so happy to have you here. So let's, first of all, catch us up on what's happening in your world. You've got a new book coming out. You're part of an anthology. And you're part of the Martin Project.
Yeah, a lot of wonderful things are happening. Absolutely. Yes, I have a book that is soon to be released next year. I am working on finishing the manuscript now. It is a poetic memoir about my journey as an immigrant child to the United States and the love that I have for Kansas City and the jazz community and hip-hop. So it's going to be a
beautiful mix
of incredible music, the passion that I have for music, the experiences that I've had growing up with the influence of all the music in my life. So I have incredible friends of mine in the city that are going to be joining me on this project.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be really wonderful. Aside from the writing, we're going to share in music, because music brings us all together.
You know, it really does. It's that language that has no barrier.
Absolutely.
You know.
Exactly. So you have this Colombian immigrant kid who fell in love with jazz and hip hop, you know, at the age of 12 and 13, and learned how to dance salsa with her father. So it's going to be a fun book. I can't wait to have it premiered and to share my love for Kansas City.
And the title of the book is?
Just a Kid from Ipiales, which is the city that I was born in.
And that was, I read a little bit of your excerpt or description of that. It talks about the clouds, or am I mistaken?
Yeah. So our city is famously known for being the city of green clouds. So in Spanish, that's La Ciudad de Nubes Verdes. We're famously known for that. Anybody who's Colombian or who's traveled in the southern part of Colombia knows La Ciudad de Nubes Verdes, which it translates to the city of green clouds for the reason that our city is in the highest part of the mountains of the southern part of Colombia. And so when you're that high up, I mean, you're just covered with nothing but green mountains everywhere, and they literally reach the clouds. So it's something you have to see for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Wow. So not only you've got that coming out, and you're also part of the latest anthology from the Latino Writers Collective.
Yes.
And you've got so much going on and very active in the community.
Yes, I've been blessed to have worked with so many wonderful, incredible leaders in Kansas City, you know, throughout the years. With the immigration marches and, you know, rights for undocumented students.
Mm-hmm.
And now the latest work is Standing Rock and just being supportive of our relatives in North Dakota. Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, I try to stay active, try to do my part. You know, I don't see myself, you know, kind of kicking back, knowing that there's so many, you know, of our relatives and even my own, you know, that I feel like deserve to have the opportunities and the resources as anybody else. So it's important for me to stay active and to stand for oppression and for injustice.
And for you, you're very outspoken about that. You get people involved. You get people sort of riled up, agitated, if you would, motivated to you know, join in your cause or join in, you know, making this place better for us all.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that about
you. Thank you.
You.
Yeah. Thank you, Maria.
Talk about the Martin Project, would you?
Absolutely. So one of my sisters, she is a female MC here in Kansas City, but I don't like to use female MC.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everybody says, right?
Yeah.
But she's just an incredible artist. She's not only a writer, but she's also a lyricist, and she has the gift of bringing people together from all different diverse backgrounds. And she asked me to be involved in a new project. We didn't even know that it was going to be called the Martin Project.
Mm-hmm.
We just knew that it was a project that she was passionate about. It was about, you know, wanting to end the violence that has been created here in Kansas City. And she was up for the challenge. She had seen a 1980s clip of a Stop the Violence that they did, I believe, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a comment in the box area that said, you know, I wish Kansas City could do something like this. And so she said, oh, man, I'm up for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she called a lot of us together. There's so many incredible artists on this project. And it started off, we were just going to record a track.
Mm-hmm.
And it started off that way. But then we created a whole music video that we shot on 18th and Vine. And it's growing. So what we've done is invited the community to be a part of starting a new conversation of what it looks like to create some form of possibility to stop and end the violence that is happening in our city. I mean, this year I believe the homicides have increased tremendously since 2011.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to keep working on that project. The Martin Project was born out of Martin Dumas, who is the original composer of the music involved, and then, of course, the nonviolent movement that Dr. Martin Luther King started. So that's why we called it the Martin Project.
Now, if folks are interested in viewing the clip, the video, could you give us a website or information how they would do that?
Yes, you can get on to YouTube, and if you just click or if you just type in the Martin Project Kansas City, it will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
You're also welcome to go to my Instagram, Miss Jessica Ayala, and we have clips up. And you're also welcome to go to my website as well, and we have the music video up as well. That's Jessica E. AYALA.com.
Now, is this is not a one-shot sort of commitment, is it?
Right.
So if there are people that are interested in joining or maybe participating or add to the dialogue, they can contact you through your website as well?
Yes. I'm actually working with five particular mothers that have endured, you know, the pain of having to lose their babies. And so we're working this summer to create a mural in our city that is going to portray and the actual children that have been lost. So it's going to be a mural that we're trying to get our city and other artists involved. So that's a part of our initiative. We're also going to be recording a second music video that we're going to flip it.
Yeah.
This time we had 11 artists total on it, and out of the 11, I believe we had 8 MCs and 2 poets. So we're flipping it. So we're going to have 8 poets, and we're going to have probably 2 MCs, and we're going to invite Storm to come back and be a part of that project.
Yeah. Now, did you want to read from the anthology?
Absolutely.
And give
I could
a little
do that, or I could
it.
Read one of the ones that I'm...
It's all about you.
Okay.
You tell me what you want to do, and we'll do it.
Perfect. So I'm just going to read a small insert of a poem called Joe. This poem is about one of my favorite Colombian artists. His name is Joe Arroyo. And he is actually one of the first black Colombians that helped us become aware of the dysphoria, the African dysphoria that has happened, I mean, all over our Latin countries. He was the first to begin to speak about it, but the beautiful thing is that he used it with music. And so it was through the clave, and it was through the tambores, and through, you know, our Colombian instruments that we were able to be aware. So this is a poem about me being 16, and it's actually through the ages of 12 to 16 when I learned how to dance salsa. And I learned about what his music was really about, you know, and really questioning it. Because I think at a young age of 15, 16, you begin to start listening to lyrics and say, oh my gosh, like this is about something deeper than just dancing.
Sure, sure.
So this is called Joe. In the summer of 1989, I learned how to dance salsa colombiana for the first time. Venga, mija, le enseño a bailar, my father would say to me. Come, I want to teach you how to dance. I was 12, and I remember. That year, I had the opportunity to travel back home to Colombia, and for the first time, I learned how to dance salsa, one step at a time, one step. The thing that I remember the most on that trip is the way that my father smiled. My father smiled like he had smiled for the first time, and it was then that I really knew my father. I didn't know my father living in the United States. I finally met my father for the first time that summer of 1989. Those same songs that we danced that night traveled all the way to the United States. And on Saturdays when my father would relax and he would take a shower and wear a clean, fresh shirt, he would sit until the sun set and listen to this music that I learned to love. Fruco y sus tesos was the music we listened to. And in that band, Joe Arroyo would play the clave. And in the clave, I would grow up to understand que no le pegue a la negra, do not hit my black woman, had something more important to signify than just a clave and a tambor and the dancing that was taught to me at the age of 12. You see, my salsa is a history of an African dysphoria. My salsa is the history of a little girl who learned how to dance for the first time and meet her father for the first time in 1989. My salsa is Colombiana. My salsa is the history of the happiness that both my parents share. My salsa is a history that at this time in our history is important to remember and cherish. My salsa is a voice unique to the Colombiano Africano Joe Arroyo.
That is very powerful and just so beautiful. Look.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, when I wrote it, it took me like 4 months to put this poem together because when I took it from my old journals, I didn't even realize that it was a story that I had continued to speak about from the age of 12 to 16. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it until I put it together, but when I did finally put it together and organize it correctly, I got very emotional too. You know, there's something about being 16 and 37 that makes you really look at your father and your mother in a different light. You look at them as adults. You don't really look at them as your parents anymore.
It's true. It happens.
And even to realize that, like, your father sacrificed so much, you know, to give us, me and my sister, so much. And to realize that I love dancing salsa, and I love salsa music, and I love Joe Arroyo, and I'm even involved in our Kansas City rumba that we have here.
Yeah.
We meet at Luce Park over the summers. I mean, we're gonna pick that up. But it's my space to be in. It is the place that I was meant to be in because it's a part of who I am. You know, it's emotional on a whole lot of levels. Mm-hmm. You know, on my roots. To my family and the love that I have for them and to who I am today.
And we love who you are today and every day. We really do.
Thank you.
You're just a powerhouse, and I love having you here on the show, sharing your work with us, keeping us informed of what's happening in the community and how to get involved. So thank you so much for coming in. I want to ask you, do you have any last words? Did we get everything covered? I know it's kind of a quick, you know, snapshot, but is there anything that we left out?
No, I mean, I'm grateful, Maria. Thank you so much for the invitation. And 2017, here we come. You know, we have more to do, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, this book is definitely something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and it's coming. It's coming on its way. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for this time.
Beautiful.
Grateful to be an artist.
Yeah.
Grateful for the support that, you know, not only yourself, but others in the community have given to artists. It's important to support our local artists, and I'm just grateful. So thank you very much for having me.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, and you will come back. I know you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Name the time, and you'll be here.
Thanks.
Very good, my friend. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. And we're back. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Every Wednesday, noon to 1 o'clock with you right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So we're hoping that you're tuned in either live on radio or through the internet, www.kkfi.org. Very good. I want to tell you about my next guest, writer, bookstore owner, Eve Breckenberry. She's going to talk about Inklings, the bookshop that's located at 1101 West Main Street in Blue Springs, Missouri. And there's so much happening within that space. It's not only a bookstore, but it's also a coffee shop. There are so many different events that take place there. She hosts special events, including authors' book signings and First Fridays, open mic, poetry, and music at home with history, and so, so, so much more. So I want to welcome Eve Brackenberry. Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend.
It's been a while. I think the last time you were here, I was on in the evening, so we're glad that you're back during the daytime.
I enjoyed the beautiful drive-in. I will
good,
say that
good,
much.
Good.
It's a beautiful day compared to the last few days, and I'm happy to be out and about.
Yeah, no kidding.
And share all the reasons to be out and about this season, and one of them is to visit KKFI. I really enjoy this
heart.
Place.
Well, thank you. And Inklings Books and Coffee, the bookstore, how many years are you there now? A couple? Three? Four? I forget.
Well, we moved to Main Street in Blue Springs in 2014, so it's close to three.
Wow.
But the store has its origins as Parkside Books.
Right.
And they opened in 2004. So we've been in Blue Springs for quite a while, and it's really a community spot for all of the bibliophiles and book lovers and poets and coffee drinkers.
Yeah, but you have so much more art on the walls.
Yes, our coffee shop also serves as a local art gallery.
And you also have a sizable collection of children's books in a spot that's especially designed for young readers. And I think that's really important to kind of rope them in and get them interested in reading and have that space for them, right?
It is really a nice space. They've got tables and chairs for the younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
They've got sections where they can find history. I always wanted that when I was a kid. So I made sure there was a historical fiction section for the young readers. Young adult, middle school, board books, chapter books. It's a great children's space.
And I might also mention to our readers that you also have a trade account where you bring in your gently used books and receive trade credit. Also student and teacher discounts. You also have book orders, consignments, book repair, and practical restoration. Where else would you need to go?
We don't. We function as a classic community store. It's primarily a used bookstore, and people do bring in their gently used books for credit. We get an average of probably 200 books in a day.
Wow.
And we sell quite a few. It's a very hopping place, and we have a great selection. It's the kind of bookstore where if you decide to pick up a reader like Nora Roberts, you're likely to walk in and be able to pick up all of her titles and not just the latest releases as you would in a a new store at the checkout lane. So it's really great for avid book readers and collectors. We have antique books. We've got vintage books. We have wonderful, wonderful books that come through. Right now, I want to tell you, I have a first edition, Frank L. Baum,
Look
Adventures of Santa Claus, 1902. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
Anybody want it? You know where to find me. If you just want to see it and pet it and touch it, come get a cup of coffee and visit the beautiful books that are at Inklings.
You know, just take a picture of it and post it on ArtSpeak Radio.
I can do that. I think Santa needs a home this year.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell the listeners that you are at 1101 West Main Street. That's Blue Springs, Missouri. And your hours are 9 to 6 p.m. And then your coffee shop is 7:30 a.m.?
7:30 in the morning.
Oh, Lord, that's
cool. And, you know, somebody said we should be a late-night coffee house.
Mm.
We are open now Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night for events, often Friday nights, and Saturday evenings for workshops. So it's happening. We're normally open till 6, so go ahead and stop in. You can also get drinks in the bookshop as well.
Very good. Upcoming events, what's happening for, well, of course, I know we're only a few weeks out from the end of the year, maybe not even that, but what's coming up? What you got on tap for events?
Well, I want to say Inklings is named after a group of writers that met outside of Oxford University in a pub from 1930 to 1949. Two of my favorite writers, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, are the Inklings, and that's where Inklings Books and Coffee Shop got its name. We get outside of academia and into a little local hangout, pub, coffee-type place. That's what Inklings does in Blue Springs. The Inkling Society in Kansas City contacted me, and we are looking at becoming more involved with Tolkien events. And the first one is January 3rd. It's an intimate, no-frills event, but at 9 p.m., it is customary to toast the professor, and we will be there, and we will do that. And
that sounds like fun.
To help celebrate the professor with us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a sampling of some of the fun things we have. We have lots of open mics and book signings and readings, lots and lots of workshops. We have poet workshops, fiction workshops, nonfiction workshops, young writers who visit from schools, and it is a wonderful community for writers and readers. Our, I think, most accommodating community that has grown at Inklings, especially this year, is our veteran community. It has become a local hangout for veterans.
Wow.
And just last week, we had our holiday open mic with our veterans' voices. Friends, it's a magazine that's been out for 70 years, and so it was an absolutely beautiful event.
I can only imagine. You know, it's important, I think, to note that you're in Eastern Jackson County, and a lot of you know, the poetry happenings are here in Midtown or Crossroads or whatever, but it's important for people to understand that, yes, there's literature, there's poetry readings, there's music, there's events there in Eastern Jackson County that are just there for you to come and experience, again, with the books or too, with so many different, you know, books that you have and subject matter and all that. It's a destination, I think.
Well, the best place to find our event listings is honestly Facebook.
Okay.
But everyone can mark their calendars now and note that we do have an open mic gathering every third Thursday of the month. It starts at 6, and the mic usually turns on at 7, and we usually go until everybody is done.
Now, would that include young adults, kids that are interested in poetry or spoken word and that sort of thing? I mean, do they also have an opportunity to have that open mic experience?
They do. I look for those themes, and we've had young adult themes in our open mics. Like I said, we had veterans' voices for this month. We had ecstatic poetry the month before. I would love to get more and more of the youth involved. We have quite a few already. And there's always more opportunities to add more events. But the writing that is coming out of our youth groups, and I talked to some of them in the high schools, is utterly amazing.
Yeah.
And they're all so welcome to come and hang out at Inklings. It is a coffee shop with lots of hot chocolate, coffee, books, things like that. So it is a safer place than
sure.
some of the places I love to hang out for writers.
Mm-hmm.
It is, but it is not an alcohol place.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So the kids don't have to worry about going to a bar or a venue that is strictly adult. It is
mm-hmm.
very family friendly. And yes, the youthful voices are much, much loved and wanted at Inklings.
And do you have a resident cat or dog?
I do not.
It seems like most bookstores have, like, you know, a big fat cat sitting on the books or something. Of course, I don't know if Prospero's does, but it just seems to me that, you know, when I've been in that place, it's like I would happen upon a cat just kind of stuck in the corner or something, but that's okay.
I actually have.
I won't hold it.
His name is Theodore. but he is not a real cat. He actually was a Halloween gift, and he's a skeleton cat, but he is so smart and just wonderful, and he hides out in every weird corner, but because of our coffee shop and health department codes and stuff, we don't
oh, sure.
have a cat.
Sure, yeah. You know, and something that we talked about just briefly in the green room was your holiday hours. You've got some stuff coming up for the last-minute gifts and whatnot?
We do. In fact, we are going to be open late every night this week through Saturday. And then we'll be open till 5 o'clock on Saturday, Christmas Eve. A lot of it is to make up for this last weekend
yeah.
when we all got
yeah.
shut in and didn't
yeah.
get our shopping done. So come
yeah.
after work to Inklings. Make the drive to Eastern Jackson County. It's worth it. The drinks are wonderful. The atmosphere is absolutely wonderful. And you will find the kind of gifts you can't simply find anywhere
it's
else.
True. I mean, hello, Frank L. Baum?
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting stuff. www.inklingsbookscoffee.com is the website.
Yes.
So that will give them sort of a sampling of what you have offered as far as the services and hours, location, and any other sort of contact information that they would need.
Mm-hmm. And really, really exciting, and I do this every year. It's very, very popular. People are excited. I want, if you don't know about it, to tell you about it.
Uh-huh.
And if you do, I want to remind you that we're doing it again this year. In December, when you spend $25, you get a complimentary gift certificate for $25.
Beautiful.
And it's good for all of 2017, and it makes a wonderful gift. It really is not easy to shop for books for
yeah.
other people sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's easier to give them a gift of a bookstore visit.
And do you have audiobooks as well?
I do have a few.
Okay. Just wondered. Because it seems like I'm looking at this list, and it's like we've got, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, all this and that, and it just dawned on me, audiobooks. Any last words? Did we leave anything out? I have to mention, though, before I turn this back over to you, you also host a breakfast, a Scottish breakfast, or am I just making things up? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's the Haggis.
Burnt supper.
Yes. Is that
I'm
it?
Glad you mentioned it.
Yay.
Although this year it is moved to the Writer's Place in
okay.
Kansas City.
Okay.
For the past 11 years, I've hosted Robert Burns, the Bard of Scotland, this famous Scottish poet. It's an evening where we stab a nasty dish of food called a haggis, and we drink scotch, and we read poetry in our worst Scots brogue, and we have a great time. The last couple of years, we've moved it to the Writer's Place right here in Kansas City, and I would love to have everyone come and be involved with January 25th.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've been doing it for years. I understand why you ask, but I love having it in
yeah.
Kansas City
yeah.
at the Writer's Place. It's one of my favorite places outside of Inklings.
Say something in your worst Scottish
somewhere.
Well, I thank you so much, Eve Reckenberry. Anything else? Did I leave anything off the list of
I want
to
say that, do you know what I hear?
Uh-oh.
I hear a beautiful voice coming through to Kansas City by way of Maria,
aww,
who shares the beautiful things that are going on. Not the
can
bad, nasty,
cry,
yucky news, but the beautiful things. Do you know what I see? I see people responding very well to that. I see people prioritizing their lives these days with all of the things going on in the world. And this 2016 was not a great year for a lot of reasons. People are really finding those places that are much more meaningful.
Yeah,
finding your,
I agree,
voice on KKFI is one of them. Finding Inklings is one of them. And do you know what I know?
You tell me.
I know that with people like you in the world and people like the writers and the readers who visit Inklings, everything is going to be fine. Everything's beautiful. And 2017 is going to be incredible just because we are going to insist on that.
I love
and
that.
And I really thank you for having me. I love coming down here.
Anytime, my friend. Those are just such beautiful words, and I'm very humbled by your passion. Thank you so much. And you'll be back.
I will.
And we'll be back. Thank you so much, Eve Breckenbury. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak after this. Terrific. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Next up, I have the wonderfully talented reading interventionist writer Paul Richardson. He's going to talk about Louder Than a Bomb KC, and Louder Than a Bomb KC invites high school students in the metro area to participate in a poetry competition in the popular slam format. And it's been a while since you've been on, my dear friend Paul Richardson. Welcome.
Back here.
Oh, there. Now I've got your mic turned on. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back here.
You bet. Last time you were here, I think you were expecting a baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Or your wife was.
Yeah.
And how's that baby now?
Oh, he's adorable. He's strong. He's ornery. So it's a blast. He's 15 months now. Yeah.
Wow. Is he spewing poetry?
His own kind of gibberish.
I love that. I love that. So let's talk about Louder Than a Bomb KC, because you're very, very involved in that. And, tell us about some of the students that participate, some of the events that go on, and tell us a bit more.
Yeah, well, we continue to grow, and so we're in March we'll see our fourth season. And I think we've hardly done any promoting directly ourselves, mm-hmm, and in 2014 we had 13 teams participate. In 2015 we were up to 17. 2016, this year, we had 21 teams, and already we've got a count for 25 teams this for March, and I expect more to come out.
And when you say they participate, where and how is that? What is that about?
So traditionally, how we've done it the last 3 years is we have preliminary bouts, because it kind of works like a tournament, right? Uh-huh. And so the whole pool of schools will compete against four other teams on any given night the first 2 weeks of March. And mm-hmm, so we might grow to host more of these, but we've had two bouts the first 2 weeks of March and two bouts the second week of March. And those, we've been trying to host them. Rockhurst University has hosted the last couple of years. We over at Beggar's Table Church and Art Gallery in, mm-hmm, the Crossroads, Johnson County Library folks, that their crew over there has been wildly supportive.
It's whoever will host you. I mean, it's not one certain location.
Exactly.
It's just sort of,
yeah.
Were you at Wyandotte High School?
I was at Washington High School
Washington.
In Wyandotte County.
Okay.
Yeah, so we hosted a couple over there as well.
So it's Kansas and Missouri.
It is. Mm-hmm. We've tried to spread it around a little bit, and whoever kind of puts themselves out there to be involved, and we've stuck to kind of our staple, mm-hmm, of places to go to. Now, when we get to the semifinals and the finals, we're at the American Jazz Museum for the semifinals.
Wow.
And just to spread it out, those have usually been drawing crowds of like 300 each each night, and then the finals, we like to put the poets on a big stage at the Gym Theater, and that's a 500-seat theater.
Cool. That is cool. Yeah. What an honor. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for in poets? What are you looking for, and you know, for people to compete?
Well, I it is a competition,
right.
And I think the most important thing that we know about the competition and that we foster and that we preach in the competition is the motto, which is the point is not the points, the point is the poetry. And we're not implicit about that. We say it out loud that the competition is a joke, it's a trick, it's a trick.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of amps up the enthusiasm. And there's no doubt that kids want to win, and we encourage them to go for it. But when we're organizing this thing, we like to promote the community of it, and so I think in a way the way I see it, Maria, is like it's sort of a metaphor for larger life. Like you want to do well for yourself, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But larger than that, you should hope that others are doing as well as you are too. And that's rare. It's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Like it's unthinkable in a way. But to foster it is important for us. You know?
Very important. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so 2017 is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Your hands are full. What's happening step by step?
Yeah.
Towards the March competition.
Yeah.
And all.
So
and are you trying to gather more people into the Louder Than Bomb KC to get them involved or to express themselves or write?
Yeah,
or
always
perform. Uh-huh.
Always, and I think you know, teachers know, and English teachers know that it's in these days of data-driven instruction, we get the necessity for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's all the kinds of things that can be said to that. That there, what kind of gets pushed to the wayside is this is that creative voice that adolescents only, you know, if you can put them in the right space and feed them the right prompt or have them read the right sort of mm-hmm. excerpt that inspires them, they naturally kind of ooze creativity.
Yeah.
And so we've grown without having to promote, and I think that teachers and educators and schools know that this is like almost like a necessary it's got an email from a teacher in Holden, Kansas, Holden, Missouri. I wouldn't know how this teacher would have heard about Louder uh-huh. Than a Bomb, but I imagine like myself as an English teacher, it's mm-hmm. like when do you have time for this sort of thing? And so we know that it's necessary and that we don't have time for it. So you know, to get back to your question, what do we have going on? I think as we continue to grow, I'm seeing limits in myself as an organizer, and I think an organizing team. Glenn North from the Jazz Museum,
from
the Black Archives,
uh-huh.
and Jessica Rizak from the she's the other organizer, and we've also brought on Unique Hughley, who was an alumnus. Of, I think he's been a student with us before.
Yeah.
Unique is now part of the organizing team as well. When we see what we're missing in Kansas City, that Chicago that started Louder Than a Bomb, mm-hmm. we're seeing mm-hmm. we need to do better to build community year round and not just these kids getting together in March, because when you see these schools of kids get together from these diverse backgrounds and have them listening and cheering each other on and dancing during intermissions together and all this stuff, you realize what the motto means. The point's not the points. The point is the poetry. The poetry and the community of it is what's really, really working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those
mm-hmm.
those rooms and the energy is what's really working. And the poetry and the language is great, but that person on stage is creating a space for the audience, and it alters the way people see each other.
You know, and it also makes me think of the documentary that I watched recently about Hamilton, mm-hmm. Lin-Manuel Miranda,
mm-hmm.
you know, how that came out of just a spoken word piece at the White House. Do you think that this is an inspiration to maybe some of your students that are, wow, you know, look what happened to that, where he took it. I mean, this is something that's possible in my life, in my work. Mm. Do you think that
I inspire it in kids. Yeah. And there's universities now that are offering poetry scholarships, and that's something that was unheard of. That was something you studied like the dead white guys in your college classes, you know.
True.
But now there's scholarships for this sort of thing, and there's
some
curriculums
merit in
built
poetry.
Totally. And you know, I the documentary Louder Than a Bomb, there's this moment in it there where one of the father of one of these poets sort of jokingly, he says, well, the job market for slam poets, you know, so there's nothing to worry, and he's kind of saying that tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. But what he says afterwards is mostly important. He says, you know, like, find a passion, get educated, and everything else will work out. And it doesn't, you know, whether it's whatever you're into, and poetry brings out this sort of passion that we don't normally see. And as long as you travel down that road and stay passionate about it, you know, the life will knock you around a little bit, but you'll be on this path and you'll realize why you were there. And I think I'm in that space as an organizer, and I look at 16-year-old kids who are like, Mister, I love writing, you know, and I say, keep doing it. Don't ever stop doing it. You know, something will come to you for it. You know,
and I just have to ask you, aside from being a teacher and a mentor, you know, with groups of kids that you work with, is there something also happening within your personal space and within your personal life with your son?
Yeah,
you know, has he offered you a different glimpse of the world or the space around you? What, anything happened?
I imagine the same thing has happened to me that every parent can relate to.
Yeah.
I'm a dreamer, and I think people know me as being some kind of a visionary human being where I think in larger visions.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bold, and I go after things, and because I know that I can risk my own body, and I have a privilege of being a straight white male in this current climate, and there's a lot of privilege to that, and so I was always capable of taking risks, and what I realized with having my son around, which has just been a dream in itself, that I'm caused to think more practically about about my future as a self, as a person in this world, and while also maintaining what I truly care about, and you know, like, my wife wouldn't have it any other way. She knows I'm going to go after what I care about, and so I'm finding the ways where I was a pretty bold I had pretty bold commitments to some of these things a few years ago. I'm now finding myself being more practical, recognizing my limits and who you know, and how I can still go forward and participate that way, you know. So, yeah, that's the space I'm in.
Stuff.
It's a beautiful crisis to be in. You know?
I love that beautiful crisis.
Yeah.
You know, I thank you so much, Paul Richardson, for the beauty of your words, mm-hmm. and for coming in this afternoon, working with over 2,000 students and community members. Just in the past year, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But we love that about you.
Well, I echo, Eve said it very well, and I love the way she did it, but I love the voice that you are for the forum that you are for us and community, and it's I greatly appreciate it, and I think it's we are part of some kind of movement that we maybe don't know what the end product looks like, but there's something on the horizon. Yeah.
Stay tuned, right?
Yeah, right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Next time you come back, will you bring some students with you, or you know, we can make it up as we go along, but I'd love to have you back again and bring some people with you.
Absolutely.
And, yeah,
let's arrange that. I would, absolutely. I can make that happen real easily. So,
beautiful. Thank you, my friend. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio and Bill Sundahl right after this. Hello. Thank you so much for staying tuned with us. We're winding down, and we've got the wonderful, beautiful, talented Bill Sundahl, who's our special events coordinator, and he's a heck of a musician. So I've heard.
Well, yeah, she never comes to my shows.
Well, you have one actually coming up Friday.
We do, yeah, yep, right. Well, I'd be happy to talk about that too. Star-Hitting Rounders is old school country, like 30s to 70s country that we're playing at the Dubliner Friday night, 7 to 10.
And there's some sort of a benefit.
It is a harvester's benefit too, so bring some food for harvesters and they will get it to the right people.
Very good. Thank you for coming in, Bill.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So what's coming up for 2017 for KKFI?
Oh, man. It's going to be great.
Oy vey. We only have a few minutes.
I feel like it is. So let's see. Well, early in the year, we've got on January 13th, Boogie Bridge is producing Lead Belly's birthday party at the Knuckleheads in the Saloon. So it's an intimate venue and... yeah, geez, I'm trying to think of who all's coming to that.
Danny Cox, Casey Roush.
That's right. Oh, the Casey Roush's Country Duo.
Amanda Ray.
Yep, and Noah
Adams.
Yep, Noah Adams. Yeah. Oh, that's not right. It's not.
Never mind. Adams. So keep going.
anyway, right. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. So a bunch of people playing Lead Belly songs, and then Jason Mavoni and the Billy Bats will be like the house band, right?
And that's January 13th.
And also, he produces Boogie Bridge right here on KKFI.
Tomorrow,
3 to 6 every Thursday. Mm-hmm. And also a wonderful show. And then, let's see. So, that's early in the year. Then we've got Folk Alliance will be coming up in mid-February. So, we will be doing a live broadcast from the KC Folk Fest, which is their Sunday, sort of one of the more public-facing events of the Folk Alliance Conference. And we'll be... have a booth there and doing a broadcast of the music from that stage. And we don't know who that's going to be yet, but that'll be fun on that Sunday afternoon, the 19th of February. You can also come down and hang out with us in person. That'll be fun.
I don't know about that. You get a little cranky after 5.
You have to fight Maria, though. She's like my bodyguard at these types of events. And then we're producing an event at the Folly on June 17th, and that'll be called Collaborations Live. So we produced a collaboration CD last year, and it turned out wonderfully. And so we thought it would be wonderful to do that live.
It was really well received.
Right, all in one place. And the Folly Theater is where we're doing that on June 17th. And so we'll have 7 or 8 different collaborations of composers and dance troupes and, all different kinds of
Mark
stuff.
Manning and I have a little belly dancing.
We'll tribute. Talk about that. You guys can open the show. How's that sound?
Or close it down.
Starts at 3 in the afternoon. Yeah. You guys be there. That is going to be an exciting event as well. Of course, the Crossroads Music Fest will be September 9th, and that'll be the 13th year. It's a teenager now.
Wow. And it's crazy because you think September, but it's like, poof, it'll be here.
Oh, it definitely will be here. And so even before that, though, we'll do our band auction in April, and we sort of split that up into 2 band auctions, one in the spring, one in the fall. And that'll be, probably early April. That'll be the collaborations event at the Folly. We'll also be recording the audio for that, and that'll be our next collaboration CD. That'll be a thank you gift for pledge drives.
I was going to ask you, if it was going to be like the first one, which was really terrific. Again, that was well-received, just a diverse group of musicians
coming together to support their community and their community radio station. And we introduced people that had never really met before. Mm-hmm. This would talk to an artist and say, hey, who do you love that, is kind of outside your wheelhouse? So building community, that's what we do. And that's what Arts Speak Radio does.
Wheelhouse.
You get kind of worried about wheelhouse. Say, things like, last guy was great. I was just standing there kind of gawking at him because he spoke so beautifully, and I got none of that. So.
Yeah.
let's see. Of course, you can choose to follow your mission in life and support KKFI at the same time through our underwriting options, so we can tell the world about your business and that you're a supporter of KKFI. You can do it at a personal way as well. It doesn't have to be a business or event or something like that.
See, and I think that's really important to know, because I talk to a lot of arts organizations and groups in that, and I love having them on the air, but we also need to know more about them outside of the show. So some underwriting spots would be terrific.
It's a great way to support KKFI. Yeah, we support our community, and it's a little way to give back to us, and also to help yourself at the same time. So the one of the best features of it, I think, is just aligning the organization's mission with ours and helping spread the word. That's what we do.
And now that we're near the end of the year, there's also some sort of money that you can give us?
That's true. If you have money, you can give it.
Well,
no, it's a year-end appeal. We'll be mailing out our year-end appeal in the next couple days. It might have gone out already, actually. And with just, extolling the virtues of your year-end tax-deductible donation to 90.1 FM KKFI, which can be done at through our website at just go to kkfi.org, and there's a donate button right there in the top right of the screen. And easy process to go through. And, there are a lot of people out there who need extra help getting rid of their money. And we're helping you're turning your donation into this radio station and into this radio show and into microphones and love and peace and
spread. Electricity.
It really is.
Yeah.
All the things that we do here is try and connect people who wouldn't otherwise be connected.
So if folks are interested in some underwriting or last minute, donations and
definitely,
whatever.
And all that can be, as long as it happens before the end of the year, it goes on this year's.
They can contact you.
They definitely can. And it's Bill Sundahl at KKFI.org. But I'm changing my email address. So that if you have that email address, just send it to it. But development@KKFI.org will be. We'll get you there.
Yeah, they can find
us. And also, the website has the underwriting page, so kkfi.org/underwriting kind of lays out the gist of it in your contact points.
And we also have a Facebook page. Not only ArtSpeak Radio, but KKFI has their own.
So come like us, be our friends, and we'll help you spread the word. Yeah. Can I be your friend, Maria?
I adore you. You have done some really terrific things for our radio station, and for that I thank you.
Right back at you.
Yeah. We got rid of Naked Tuesday, so I was happy about that.
Well,
but
I kind of miss it. Except for
you've done some terrific things. Especially, you're so generous with your time, the family man, and all that. It's a tough juggle, but you managed to do it.
I appreciate that very much. I want my kids to grow up in a better world than I found it. So this is one of the ways that I've found to do that.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Bill. 2017 sounds like it's going to be just as busy or more.
More, yeah.
Than 2016.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to try and focus our efforts event-wise on larger events and really focus on being better at what we do. And it takes a village to do that, so we certainly appreciate everybody's support in keeping us on the air and keeping us going. It'll be 29 years, end of February.
Terrific.
29 years.
Terrific. Well, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
And that concludes another episode of ArtSpeak Radio. Thanks to Jessica Ayala, Eve Breckenberry, Paul Richardson, and, of course, our beautiful Bill Sundahl. Next week, December 28th, the end of December, the Office of Culture and Creative Services staff will join us, along with poet and writer Sylvia Kofler and Heidi Van, who is with Fish Tank Performance Space. Thanks for listening to ArtSpeak Radio. Stay tuned for Jazz Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'll see you next week. Honey, I'm coming home.